Yeah, before we start, board members, you will need to speak into the microphone. You don't need to turn your microphone off at any point, but when you have a comment, please speak into the microphone. That way it gets picked up by the recording.
Okay, are you saying we won't need to turn it off, you're saying?
Yeah, you can leave your microphone on at all times and just speak into it when you have comments or questions.
Great. So I guess we have a new AV system here, I guess. Okay, great. Okay, the April 19th, 2023 meeting of the Derry Township Zoning Hearing Board is called to order. I want to make everybody aware that it is and has been the policy of Derry Township to record meetings for the purpose of accurate notes and posting on the township website. This meeting is being recorded for those purposes. All right, we'll do a roll call. Okay, Lindsay Drew.
Here.
Tom DiDonatis.
Here.
Mike D'Angelo.
Here.
And Bill DeFeo.
Here.
Thank you. Sorry, Mike. Since our applicant is DeAngelis, I said DeAngelo.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Mike D'Angelo. Let me correct that. And Steve Seidel, I'm here as well. Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes of the March 15th, 2023 meeting?
So moved.
Thank you, Lindsay. I'll second that. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. All right, that passes. We have no old business tonight. We have one item of new business tonight. That's a hearing in the case of Kyle D'Angelo, case number 2023-02. Is the applicant here? Would you please come up to the podium? Is there anyone else that's going to be testifying with you tonight, or just yourself?
Just myself.
Okay.
Just myself.
First, we need to just get your name and address for the court reporter for the record and swear, and she'll swear you in.
My name is Kyle D'Angelo, 1251 Swatara Road, Hershey, Pennsylvania, 17033.
Tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing.
Sure.
Okay. So we do all have your application and all the materials that went with that. If you want to just take us through what your request is, I understand for a special exception, and then I think you also had a challenge on the zoning ordinance itself. So why don't you take those one at a time?
Yeah, I would appreciate if we address those two separate, completely separate items. Okay. I think that's the best way to approach it. The primary objective is to get the fence approved. So I've written a letter to the zoning board and it's been distributed to all of you. Basically, my request is that I be allowed to construct a fence greater than 6 foot, but less than 10 foot. I believe within the letter I've addressed all of the requests that are in the zoning ordinance, as well as any other concerns that might be applicable to this. I'm not going to read the letter as you all should have read it. I can show you on this rendering that I created and my wife approved, which is probably more important than this tonight. So as you can see,
Yeah, and as you're going through this, could you just orient us to what's an existing structure? Because I didn't see that labeled on here, just what's an existing structure versus proposed?
Yeah, so I used Vizio. I didn't like hire anybody to do this. I just did it myself, so. Sorry, I didn't know like what needed to be.
No, that's fine. But just as you're going through, if you'd point that out, that'd be helpful
to
us.
This is an existing structure. This is an existing structure, existing structure, existing structure. The proposed fence area is this brown area here and along the back. The driveway's there. Yeah, and then, I don't know, anything else you need to see about this?
Okay. Maybe,
so I think it might help if we show the picture of the property first. So it's not oriented the same way. There we go. So you can kind of see the existing structure and where it's going to be. There's the house, the garage, and there's an existing structure right there that you can't really see very well.
Okay.
And then now this might help to see the actual rendering that I did up.
So the fence you're proposing is along the entire rear property line?
Correct.
And then also, if you can go back maybe to the other drawing for a second. So across the entire rear property line and then across the left property line there?
Yep, stopping somewhere along here adjacent to the existing structure.
Okay, so then up to the structure itself.
Yeah.
From the, I'm calling it left because I don't know what directions north, south, east, or west, but looking from the road, the left side, then a short piece to where the building is, existing structure. Okay, and then continuing around between the house and that property line. Okay.
Correct. Any other questions about maybe like how it's designed? Yeah, go ahead.
How far is that structure from Swatara Road, that structure?
Right here? I honestly don't know the answer to that. I don't know. It's enough. It's far enough back there where there wouldn't be any line of sight issues with the road. And as the road actually does an S curve to the left at that point. So, but I do not know the actual distance from here to here.
Okay. Ballpark?
50 feet? Okay. I mean, this whole entire side is, I think, 200. So whatever that number is, I can't read it.
So this is somewhat to scale, then?
Somewhat to scale, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not an architect or anything, but...
Yeah, I don't know if it was 10 feet or...
No, yeah, it's so is that, say, 160? So I'd say 60 feet.
Okay.
An estimate.
Okay. One other thing. There are other trees that you do not show that do obscure that structure on the left and the associated fencing, if I recall seeing the over. You know,
yeah,
Google Earth, there's a lot of trees around there, right?
Yeah, this whole area is basically wooded.
Yeah.
So, like, the structure's, like, right in there.
So from the road, it appears that the fence is obscured over there on that left side.
The fence is obscured?
Yeah, from view.
From view? On that side?
Yeah. More or less.
If you're traveling left to right. The trees would...
Yes. This side would be obscured. I mean, you would still see all of this. Right. And this part would be obscured as well from the tree line.
Are you intending to remove any of those trees? Existing trees?
Only ones in danger of life and property. There's none that are going to be taken down before the fence purpose. There was actually an existing fence there already. That was ripped out, so there's a line that goes down.
Okay, so just to be clear, you're not intending to remove any trees in order to install the fence?
No, not related to the fence, no. If it's a dangerous tree, I'm absolutely gonna remove it, but nothing related
right.
That has pre-planned based on the fence.
Okay, you can continue.
Describing. Yes, so this is a rendering of what I propose the fence would look like. Wooden post. decorative header. And this is all, as you guys read, to help deter deer. So using varying methods to help achieve that objective. It'll be wire panel and wire, it'll be wire. I don't know how else to describe it, but wire and wood.
What can you describe, what's the across the top there? Not clear on what, is that a board with what are those like diamond shaped items? What is that?
So it's like a header that you would see like on a trellis type system.
So those boards going, those diamond shaped objects, is that an end view of some, and where is that piece going?
Across the top, like it would be on the header of the fence.
So spanning that whole distance between the two sides of the fence?
Spanning the distance between the two sides.
I'm just trying to understand what that represents. I understand there's a board there.
Yeah, it would resemble a trellis type structure where it would be, you know, 1 foot to, you know, across the top of the fence.
So kind of a cap.
Yeah.
Okay, but not spanning from one fence panel to another.
No. Oh no. That area would be way too big. Yeah. No.
Okay. But that's those pieces are wood as well, or proposed to be wood as well. Then.
This right here.
Where you're looking at the end? No, up above at the top.
This.
Yeah. Those diamond shaped.
It'd be like wood. Okay. Wood. I don't know if you've ever looked on Pinterest and saw like those fences with the trellises on top. That's what we're going for.
Right. I just was trying to understand whether you were trying to span like a roof for the.
Yeah. No. No. There will be no roof structure associated with this fence.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions for me right now? Just continue, and we'll interrupt you if we have.
Okay. Yeah. Questions. So it's welded wire fence to, you know, prevent deer. I want to create like a picture like setting. So like this would be used more along the back for maximum deterrence of from the field for deer and other animals. If you guys noticed that in my writing, I mentioned other animals because we do get quite a bit of wildlife out that way. You know, a couple years ago, we had a bear out there on Sand Beach Road. We have coyotes, foxes, and the deer. I provided some support related to how high they can actually jump. You'd be surprised that they can actually jump, you know, over a 12-foot fence. So, you know, Penn State Extension, you know, has some guidelines on how tall a fence could be. I wouldn't expect that I have the need for a 12-foot fence, nor do I want to go through the process of, you know, any other thing that I would have to do that. I also spoke with a previous game commission warden who, you know, said, you know, 10 feet, they're still going to be able to jump over it. So, you know, utilizing some of these other methods, some other ground cover, to try to help, you know, keep the fence height as low as possible. Where possible, I don't want it to exceed, you know, what it needs to. But I think I need, in order to evaluate that, and like someone had mentioned, the tree line, right? They're not going to be able to jump through a tree, so, you know, I might not need that level of height throughout the whole entire thing. But I do want the ability to assess that and do that if I need to. I have an optional metal wire. That's a type of preventative that I've seen on some fences. And then there's the option for these decorative things, like a decorative shelf. in between the two posts, kind of like a ledge where you can put pots and stuff. The wire would allow you to hang hanging baskets. So some beautification efforts as well. I think that the point there is, you know, my wife wants this to be as beautiful as possible as well. I don't want it to be an eyesore. So I have no other.
You indicated in your, I'm sorry, Mike, did you have a question?
So the, you know, what you're looking for 10 feet, the majority of the metal part of the fence is going to be 6 feet, maybe. I see it one place, you say 4 feet, three. And then the header is basically designed to go on top of the 4x4s. And that's what you're saying, even though there may be a gap in between there with the wires, that's not going, you don't see that as a problem with deer jumping through the, for example, the portion where you say 4 feet, three with the fence, and then you have that opening. Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, is that?
Yeah, I'm hoping they don't jump through that.
That'd be like a wind jumping through a window?
Right, yeah, okay. I'm hoping they don't. And that's the thing, that's why I'm asking for an extended time in all of this, because I don't know how they're gonna react, right? I've never dealt with this level of deer. So if they're really hungry one winter and they're jumping through this window, I obviously will have to, you know, put this metal part up to 6 feet. So, you know, but I do want to keep it as low as possible, because I don't want to see a wire fence facing my house. To, you know, I would rather have it as beautiful as possible. Okay. So it could be a problem.
Yeah, it's just the bottom line is it's not 10 feet of wire fence that you're asking for. More than likely there's going to be that header, mm-hmm. and then maybe 6, 7, 8 feet, and then space, and then a header across.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and I should mention, because you mentioned 4x4, there are going to be some 6x6 posts just for sturdy stability and stuff like that. So.
Okay. By the way, I did some research on the average height of white-tailed deer jumping fences. It says they can, although rare, they can jump up to 10 feet, but it says it would be extremely unlikely. But 6 to 8 feet seems to be the general.
That's what I've researched and read and have talked to Game Commission, previous retired Game Commission employees, and that's what they say as well. So.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify. This is related to Mike's question. You're talking about being constructed in phases with the core structure. So when you're saying core structure, I didn't know if that referenced some portion of the fence in terms of its extent. But I think if I'm interpreting what you just said correctly, when you're saying core structure, you're talking about the panels and the posts prior to adding the header.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're talking for the entire extent around the extent that you described a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a different fencing you're doing in different places. It's the same basic fencing?
It's the same. This would be the basic fencing being utilized across all of the fence. It's just you can tell there's different heights for certain things because in certain areas I just don't know how things are going to work.
So it might be
but the core structure is, yes, wooden post and wire.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay. So the materials you're using, and I can also ask the township to weigh in here, the materials you're using, is there anything that's not compliant with the regulation as far as the materials and how you're planning on using them?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. I'll ask the same question to the township here in a moment. So.
Yes, all materials are compliant.
Okay. All right. Can we conduct this as two separate pieces and get public input on each piece?
I think we can Sorry, I just need to clarify a procedural issue with our attorney. Okay, so do you have anything else on this portion in terms of the special exception that you want to present here?
No.
Okay, any other questions from the board?
Could you just clarify for me one time? So your request is in excess of 6, less than 10. And I understand part of it is because you've not yet identified what would work or not. I did notice in the Penn State information that you provided with your application, it stated that the opinion would be that an 8-foot fence would successfully exclude there. So I'm just curious, have you looked at options for the lowest or the smallest amount of relief to go with that, or maybe dive just a little bit deeper into what you're looking for rather than the range?
I think the Penn State gave a range, if I'm not mistaken. And then I think that's also what I've read and researched and gotten feedback from. My goal is the minimum amount, because obviously there's costs associated with it. So it's in my best interest as well to have the minimum. You know, in areas where I can utilize other, you know, such as ground cover, like rocks, you know, they can't jump off of rocks. So like putting that in front of something, yes. But the option or ability to be able to do up to 10 feet is why I'm requesting it. Because like we've said and heard, there is the ability for them to jump up to, while rare. And there is a lot of property in which I am seeking to protect. I planted an orchard last year, and they did quite the number on it this winter. I also have beehives, so those are really important to protect. And I'm not sure anything's going to protect against a bear. I didn't really do any research on a bear, but you know, the maximum deterrence I would think would be appropriate to try to deter a bear. And then, you know, coyotes trying to get through, so that the gaps within the fence panels have to be a certain so that foxes and coyotes can't get through. So I am trying to do, you know, the minimum relief. But I mean, that's kind of the minimum relief related to safety. It's kind of like an ironic thing, because that's what the ordinance is meant to do, is create safety. And it's just ironic that, you know, minimum in the context of safety is kind of, it's just really ironic.
Sure. So that's what I'm trying to establish and understand is in the, with what you've provided here relative to fencing from the Penn State, it states fencing deer out of the orchard is the most efficient way to reduce damage when deer density is high and damage extensive. The conventional 8-foot woven wire fence effectively excludes deer by forming a barrier around the orchard. And that's what I was trying to understand, because obviously, as you're stating in this case, safety, per your testimony, would be in excess of 6 feet.
Yes.
The information provided with the application is stating 8-foot would be sufficient for safety and exclusion.
Related to that specific fence. So the woven wire is actually like a wire mesh, and it's very flimsy, so it would only protect against the deer, not other larger predators. So, and it's a much cheaper material, so it doesn't have the same strength that I think would be necessary for this area as it pertains to like wind and other type of, you know, things like that. So like the woven wire is like a different type of material. And so I do understand what you're saying there.
Okay.
About that.
Thanks. I just wanted the clarification that you've considered what is referenced in here as the inclusion in your application, but that there were other reasons why that was not where you were going.
Okay. Last question. Did you do a materials like shopping list yet? Did you figure out like your 6x6s, 4x4s?
Roughly, yeah.
What length are you going to get? Are you going to get, I mean, that's going to, if you're going to go 10 feet and you got to bury it 4, what are you going to get, 16 footers, I assume? Or how?
I don't know if I'm going to, that might not be the route. So the header might actually be on top of the 4x4.
Well, I assumed it would have to be, but even still, you'll probably have to, you have to bury them, what, 4 feet?
I don't know, 4 feet. I would utilize concrete.
Yeah.
So
I think three to four, whatever, but okay.
Somewhere in that range, but maybe three max for the height, for the depth in the ground.
All right.
Because that's what's required for the frost line, so.
All right, so whatever it is, you may end up chopping those 6x6s to trim it up, and if we were to allow, grant the relief, and you wanted to go up to 10 feet, and you buried the thing 3.5 feet, and you got a 12-foot 6x6, you're going to have to trim it up a little bit and do some calculations.
Correct. Yes. Correct? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It wouldn't. Yeah, and that's the thing. It wouldn't try to go over 10 feet from the ground.
Yeah.
That's my whole.
Yeah, because if you didn't, you could have the thing could end up sticking up in the air. You know, depending on if you got a 16-footer, you could have, you know, four thing could be up in the air 14, you know, 13 feet.
Right. Yeah. I won't do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just lastly, I wanted to clarify or get on the record is, so we've talked about the extent of the fencing, we've talked about the height of the fencing. With some of the features you're talking about, like that header, and so the header has some width to it as well, it sounds like.
Wider than height to it.
I was trying to establish the depth, looking at this drawing, the depth into the page, okay? I was getting the impression that there's like the header, and then there's these cross pieces potentially. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Again, those diamonds you have indicated there.
Yeah.
Right. You were saying those were kind of like a cross mm-hmm. piece, like a trellis.
Yeah.
So that has some depth to it.
Yeah.
What is that depth? And the question I also have is, where are you going to situate this fence relative to the property lines?
Yeah, so
how far back from the property lines?
Yeah, it wouldn't exceed over the property line.
That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you is, you've indicated there's some depth there, right?
Yes.
So where are you going to be setting the fence relative to the property line? How far back from the property line?
So that the trellis system wouldn't overhang the property line.
I'm just asking how far back you're planning to set the fence from the property line. I mean, I
don't know the answer. I haven't measured how far back I need in order to. And I also don't know if I'm going to need those yet. So I'm not sure I understand the question.
Okay. Well, what I'm getting at is, you know, kind of a conventional 6 foot or lesser fence, okay, needs to be within your property line. Okay. What you're describing here is something not as conventional as a standard 6 foot or shorter fence. So I'm just trying to establish where you're trying to set that fence relative to its girth, so to speak. Its girth or width, you know, depth of the.
So would the fence have to be
X
number inside of the property line so that the header did not hang over the property line? You can't put it right on the property line.
Right, especially if you're planning on adding this header potentially at a later point, which is, I think, what you're indicating. So.
So the header would, there's a header, and then there's these trellis-like system mm-hmm. items.
And the way you described
that. The header does not have the girth. It would have the same girth as the 4x4 post.
Okay.
The trellis items would have a similar but slightly larger girth.
Right. And as you're describing it, you're holding your hands showing approximately 1 foot.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's what you're intending.
Yeah, to create like a trellis system on top, it'd be greater than the 4x4 post, 6x6 post.
Okay.
So, yeah, roughly a foot. Yeah, so if you divide that in two, that would be the distance off the property line. Is that what you're asking?
That's basically what I'm asking.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're planning on putting it as close to the property line as you can without having that overhang header. So you'll be back at least six plus inches to the center of this thing, and you'll be no wider than 12 inches in depth on the fencing structure, including that header.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I think so.
Would that create any landscape or lawn maintenance issues for that, to have it back off the property line by that amount?
For me?
To be able to access, right. So if you're back off the property line, half a foot or a foot, accessing that amount of space for lawn care purposes or landscaping maintenance, would you be able to accomplish that without impeding across the property line?
To perform my landscaping maintenance?
To cut the grass on the other side, on the side of the fence where the overhang is.
So this is a wooded area that is not, I mean, there's no grass on that side. On this right here, there's an area that is between the field and my property.
Do you currently maintain the lawn or cutting beyond where the fence will be?
I do, yeah.
And that's what I'm asking is, will there be any issue once the fence is in place for either accessing or keeping that maintained, given the change of depth left of to the property line?
I don't think so. I'm sorry, I'm having difficulty understanding. Like, so are you saying, can I get on the other side of the fence to maintain it?
Well, I'm saying if I mow up to my property line and my lawnmower goes right along the property line and I put a fence there, so now there's 6 inches from the property line to the fence. I've got to get on the other side of that fence and push my lawnmower, but my lawnmower is bigger than 6 inches, and now I'm cutting the grass across my property line.
Okay.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so you would be then crossing over the property line in order to be able to maintain what was left of your property, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Unless you set your fence further
back
in from your property line so you have room to access on the exterior side. And again, a shorter typical, you know, vertical fence, you typically don't have these issues because you can set the fence very close to the property line and you can reach over it, or you can, but what you're describing is a much not just taller, but also wider because of its height. Needs to be wider, and you're trying to make some decorative components to it as well. So it does change the nature of accessing that area on the outside. So
yeah, we can take the decorative items off if you want.
Well, I'm asking because yeah. You would inadvertently create a potential issue with the neighboring property owner if you were having to go over that in order to be able to maintain, or it would create an excessive burden for you to be able to maintain that small space. So I think that's why we're just trying to identify what the setback from the property line would be where the fence would be placed, given the change in depth on the top of the
fence. Yeah, we can get rid of that, the little trellis thing on the, where it borders the property line, if that's the holdup. We can get rid of that part on the property line, but it would still be on where it's on my property.
Right. Just want to make clear that it's not just the fence posts that touch the ground that need to be within your property lines. It needs to be the entire fencing structure.
Yeah, understood. Yeah. So I didn't think about the mowing component if I had right. to maintain it. I mean, if I didn't mow behind my yard, it would never get mowed. So who would I call the township to make sure it gets mowed?
Again, as...
Well, right, I haven't identified who the neighboring adjacent property owners right. are. I'm trying to anticipate that for you and not have you erect a fence that then you're encroaching on someone else's property and it creates an additional issue for you down the road were this to be approved. That's why we're asking these things so that it can be taken into consideration for the...
Yeah, right. I think so. Just to clarify, there would be no intent to encroach on other people's property lines with the fence. So whatever setbacks are required to...
Okay, so your testimony is that the setback would be that you would be able to maintain the property on either side of the fence without encroaching over the property. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for helping with that.
Thank you. That's exactly where I was going with it. Okay, so do you have anything else? Otherwise, we'll move on to any input from the township as well as from the public. And then we'll come back to the second part of your application, which is the challenge in terms of the zoning ordinance. We'll handle that as a separate second piece.
Okay.
Do you have anything else you want to add before I?
No, as long as everybody understands and has read what I've written in my letter, I think that should be good.
Okay. All right. So let me move on.
Can I ask a question, Steve? Since we're taking these as two separate issues, there are people from the public.
Yeah, we're going
to. We want to see if maybe they would want to
comment
on that.
That's what I'm looking at, Mike. Yeah, exactly. But I think before we do that, I'm just going to Chuck or David, is there testimony on this piece that you feel is needed?
I actually have two questions. Are you intending to put the fence posts 10 foot off the ground initially?
The fence posts, no.
So how tall will the 4x4s or 6x6s be?
I think they would be around 7.5 to 8, and then the header would be that the height from there.
So the header is going to fasten to the face of the post to give that extra height?
It would fasten to the top of the post.
Okay, so if you want to reach the 10 feet, how do you get there?
You'd have to put on, if it's an 8 foot, a 2 foot header. Or a 2 foot, or a 1.5 foot header with some type of decorative on top.
Okay, all right, thank you. And do you know where you, could you go back to the aerial? Do you know where your septic system is?
Yes.
Could you point at it?
Right there.
So you can be careful not to puncture anything with.
Yes. Yeah. If it's actually easier to see if I can point it out on the other one, the one that's, scroll up. It's this area right in front of the fence.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Yeah, that's why I kind of go back like that.
So. Got it. David, anything?
And the drain field is also there? It's
the tank's here, the field's here.
David or Chuck, any other questions or on this part? Okay. All right, so we'll open it up to any members of the public that wish to testify. Please, if you'd come to the microphone, we'll have to swear you in. If you'd give your full name, please, and your address, and sure. The court reporter will swear you in then.
My name is Brenda Pethley. I live at 279 East Canal Road, Hershey. However, I do own property at 1091 Swatire Road, Hershey. So that's why I'm here. I'm here to gather some information about what is happening. Yes.
Could you spell your last name?
It's P as in Paul, E-F-F-L-E-Y, like the road.
Could you just state that the address of the property you own is 1091, did you say?
The property that I own in this area is 1091 Swatire Road. It's at the top of the hill.
Before the curve.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, please proceed.
Okay, I'm just here to gather some information. My first question would be, are there any regulations relating to setbacks for fences in the conservation district?
I'm going to turn to David or Chuck on that one.
On the side and rear property lines, no. The fence may be placed on the property line as long as it does not encroach upon the neighboring properties.
I looked at the conservation ordinance, and there was something about a 50-foot setback. Was that relating to what?
That was relating to accessory structures, and structures would be sheds.
So not fences. Fences
correct.
Does not fall into that category, is what
correct.
You're saying.
Fences is its own section of the ordinance outside the purview of each individual zoning district.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. I'm understanding from what Kyle has said that the whole point of this fence is to deter deer. Is that correct? Good luck with that. This fence is not going to do anything to stop those deer. You have two other sides to that property that the deer just will move right in. I've lived at both of those properties for 68 years, and if you think that fence is going to stop a deer, you're totally crazy. I don't care what you try to make it pretty and all that kind of stuff, but that is not the whole point of putting that fence up to deter deer. Is just, I don't think that qualifies for the ordinance that says specifically there has to be some sort of topical constraint or special needs relating to the property. and I don't think this deer issue would qualify that. I think if you live in this conservation area, you just have to accept that they're deer. We've had a bear at our house. That's just part of living here. And I'm just questioning if this fence would qualify as a special need to deter deer. That is my question to the board or the zoning board.
That's one of the components that we're here to determine. So
okay.
So that's, we're hearing all the testimony from all interested parties.
Do you understand that there will be two completely open sides to this property that deer will be able to just walk in whenever they want to?
I'm not sure that that's how I understood. That's why we are, I was questioning the extent of the fencing. Let's again make sure everyone here is clear on where this fence is
Kyle,
going.
Kyle, could you grab the laser pointer?
Sure.
Okay. So we're actually going to do something right here along here.
Oh.
To help. So the main thing is to protect this orchard.
So you want the orchard and the garden protected?
Yeah.
Okay, why are you doing the back?
Just for, so they're not transversing the property to try to protect this area as much as possible.
I walk from the property up on the hill back to my house at night all the time. This will not stop deer, guaranteed. They're in the field across the road at all times. Bobby has the adjoining property here. She can testify that they're in her yard at all times. They're just going to move in. I understand you wanting to protect the orchard and the garden. That I get. But I just don't see any need for that back fence.
Not any good at all.
I'm sorry, what?
You have a point.
Okay. Would you like to add anything, Bobby?
Sure.
Do you have any questions for me?
Let me check. Board members, any questions?
Okay.
No, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Yes, hello. I'm Bobby Holland. And my house is 1231 Switzerland Road, right next door to Kyle's. So, yes. Yes, I do.
Again, could you just give me your address again?
1231 Switzerland Road.
Okay, thank you.
So, basically, my question was, and Kyle, thank you, he already answered it, but I'll just clarify and reiterate for the group. I was concerned about the fence being between our homes because you notice the driveway there. If a fence were to go between the homes, I would have trouble, even if it had like a, you know, wiring, I would have trouble with the line of sight getting to, like if he put the fence up where that line is right there to the road, I would have trouble getting out of my driveway. So that would interfere with the line of sight. But I see that he wants to just, you want to put in your orchard. And the back fence, I know I shouldn't be speaking for Hershey, but behind our homes is a field. And there's a basically tractors, and every spring and fall, there is a farmer who plants. So if you put your fence out where there would be like a trellis or something that would jut out, I don't think the farmer has enough room to turn his tractor around. You can see the marks in the field already if he doesn't have clearance. I know you mow and take care of that black spot, but when he comes and he plants, sometimes he swings rather wide, so you might want to think about that. And that's just from living there. But yes, I do think that the fence, I don't have any opinion on how to stop the deer. The only thing is deers will get stuck in fences sometimes. I've seen them get stuck at the fence at the Hotel Hershey. It's kind of ironic because they just kind of sit there and they're in between the poles. I don't know. Anyway, so they're not the smartest animals. and that's what the problem is. They just don't go around. They want to go through. So I don't know with the wind and everything. The wind goes basically straight across. So if you put the fence up, it's going to get a lot of wind. So if it has that wiring, you're going to have to worry about the stability in the wintertime. It's a thought. So those are my thoughts, my FYIs. I don't know how to stop the deer, but no, I've never seen a bear, but there's a first time for everything. Deer, and also groundhog, they like to dig. They dig a lot, and I think I found the mole in my front yard. So yeah, so that's another issue. Other than that, I don't have any other questions. I think I voiced my concerns to the group, and I let you know about what I think they were asking. So I think I brought everything together for everyone. I don't have any other questions or concerns, but thank you. Thanks everyone for their time. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else from the public that wishes to testify? Okay. Please.
Yeah, so this is specifically related to a fence over 6 foot. It doesn't prevent me from, in the future, putting additional fencing up to enclose additional areas, correct?
You would, if you're talking about putting additional fencing that's greater than 6 feet, you would need to come back
right
for additional special exception.
Below 6 foot is, it doesn't prevent me from doing that.
With, you would still need to talk to the township staff about
right, yeah,
permit for that, but that's correct.
All right, yeah, that was my understanding. I just want to make sure because this, to me, was specifically related to the fencing that was over 10 foot. So, okay, thank
correct.
You.
Over six feet.
Yep. And the current relief or exception that you are seeking is for what is noted on the diagram as submitted.
Correct.
And as you explained and testified at tonight's hearing, yes. Okay. So I think that we'll go on to part two here, which is your second part of your application, which was a challenge to the ordinance.
Yeah, so also within that last seeking special relief, there was a request at the bottom to waive or reduce the application for this non-use matter. And part of that is justified within this challenge of the validity. I'm not going to read.
Yeah, let me just ask you a question then. I mentioned that as well. So as part of your, the last paragraph of your description for the special exception, you're asking for waiving. I'm not sure what you're asking to be waived. Did you pay a fee to be
I
here
did,
tonight?
Yeah.
How much was that?
$355 for okay. a non-use matter.
And you're asking for that to be waived, but correct. You've paid it already.
Correct.
So you're asking for it to be refunded, I sure. think is what you're saying.
Waived and refunded.
Okay. I'm not sure if we even have jurisdiction to do that.
We don't, no.
we don't. Those fees are set by our township supervisors.
The Board of Supervisors sets the fees. So if you have complaint about that, you would need to go to the Board of Supervisors hearing.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So that's as far as the dollars dollars and cents. We don't have the authority to waive it. That's the bottom line. This board does not have the authority to waive that fee.
So would I just go to a supervisor's meeting and ask for that?
Okay.
Do they have the authority?
They're the ones that set the fees.
Right.
But do they have the authority to waive it, I guess is the question.
Presumably, not. But I wouldn't hold your breath on that.
Okay.
Okay, so let's move on then to your challenge to the ordinance.
Agreed. So when I had to go through this process, it was quite the process to go through. I won't go into details, but there seemed to be a lot of paperwork, unnecessary paperwork. And I think it was because of the simplicity of the request, yet the complication of the form, and I had to fill out the form a couple times, just because of the direction I was provided. So that's why I continued on to do the challenge or the appeal, and I won't read this to you, but I think in summary, it goes through my interpretation of why this wouldn't be a good ordinance, or wouldn't be a valid ordinance, and perhaps doesn't meet all of the necessary requirements of the community. Specifically, I think it focuses too solely on an area of the community that gets more attention than, you know, the other parts of the community. So that's why I, in my letter, mentioned different interpretations of the ordinance that could have transpired. My real question is, what legitimate government interest is there in applying a more restrictive, burdensome process on residential versus non-residential property owners in the same zoning district? I think I'll leave it at that. There may be some people that say this letter lacks substance. I don't think it does. I think it clearly goes through and gives examples and allows for a different thought process in evaluating this ordinance. I also point to other ordinances of other townships that do focus on other parts of the community, not just a core part of the community. I think I had already mentioned some of the irony as it relates to safety and fences. You know, safety fences are meant to encourage safety, but when you try to get the minimum height requirement when it comes to safety, I think it's just a little ironic. And I think, just because it's allowable under a special exemption does not make the ordinance just. I think I also mentioned the arbitrary height of the 6 foot. Like, where did that number come from, 6 foot? I don't think there was any relevant number that we could come up with. I think I heard at one point that's because that's the panels come in at Lowe's. I think we looked into the IRC building codes, and that was 7 foot. So that was my justification for saying that the height was arbitrary. And that's it.
Any initial questions from the board? Chuck and David, we're going to swear you in for this portion.
Sure.
Since I think you're going to provide some testimony. All right. Yeah.
So just a few items in response to Kyle's concerns. First, I think the special exception in this case in Derry Township is a good way to handle it. Obviously, we have neighbors that are concerned with fences over the regulatory height, and they would not be here or be aware of it without the special exception process. Special exception process is built in the ordinance to allow people, when they have a greater need for a higher fence, to obtain that by by convincing the board that the need is there, and I think Kyle did a good job with that. David, if you'd put up, a 6-foot fence is a height of fence that's generally regulated throughout many communities. There are communities that allow greater than 6 foot. Some just by permission by the zoning officer, some in certain circumstances. There's other communities that require a higher fence for around junkyards or other uses. Just quickly as to the fees, we also did some fee research. Kyle noted that his fee to apply here was $355. We couldn't find an adjacent municipality that was less than our fee. We do try to keep our fees reasonable to the, as we're required to, but we try to keep our fees reasonable to the amount of effort put into a hearing, to the posting of the property, to the advertising, and so on. And then finally, if you go to the Dauphin County GIS maps and go to East Hanover Township, which was referenced in Kyle's material. And if you would turn off the mapping, thank you. East Hanover Township has a different set of regulations. They are an entirely different community. They have no villages. They have no central residential areas. They are a much more sprawling, a much more probably agricultural-oriented community. Different areas regulate fences in different ways. When I was zoning officer in Kanoi Township, agricultural fences were exempt from permits. So, again, it's a community decision of how they want to handle fences. I don't find anything out of the ordinary in the way that we manage fences, with the exception, and Kyle did mention this in his writing, of the requirement that if chain link fence is put up, that it be vinyl clad. I searched ordinances within 25 miles of Derry Township. I could find nobody else that restricted the use of chain link fence. That's been in our ordinances since 1996. It's never really been challenged. So that's what I'd like to offer in response to Kyle's writing. I don't know if David has anything to add. He's dug deep into this as well.
If you do, David, then we'll swear you in. But
I'll be available for questions.
Okay. All right. Anybody from the public that wishes to? Yeah, and just keep in mind, just to clarify, what we covered at first was the request for the special exception. Now we're talking about a challenge to the actual ordinance itself. So, okay. All right. Okay. Is there any other questions from board members about this? No. Okay. We've not closed the hearing. What do you think? This is two separate hearings? I don't think so.
No, it's one yeah. thing. But,
I was going yeah. this way. Yeah, please come up. I just want to make sure we're clear about
okay.
what you're commenting about. This is all one hearing. I've just decided, as the chairman, to organize it in two pieces just for the sake of not causing a lot of confusion in the process.
Sure.
But please go ahead, ask whatever other questions or comments you
I
might have.
I am not opposed to your 6-foot fence. I'm really not. And I understand you want a garden and an orchard. And I know the deer are just crazy. I get that. But I'm just questioning whether your request actually qualifies for the special needs that needs to be met in order to get that 10-foot fence. It says specifically, due to topographical constraints, and I don't see any topographical constraints in this situation, or special needs relating to the use of the property in question. He can use the property in question as is, and that 10-foot fence is not going to make a difference when it comes to deer getting on that property. So I hope it works out for you, Kyle. Good luck with the deer. But I would not want to see higher fences in a conservation district.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Any other comments or questions from the board?
I just have a clarifying question about the challenge to the zoning ordinance, and perhaps it's because I've not experienced one before. Megan, if you could just explain the process and what the purview of this board is, because this request, I understand the challenge to it, but I'm not hearing, like, I haven't heard what the proposed or, you know, would it just, if it were approved, would it be struck and sent back to the supervisors? Would it just be taken out completely?
Well, so the zoning hearing board would be able to do it if they found that the ordinance was invalid. A curative amendment for this particular case, which probably prompt the supervisors to do something. But you would the ordinance is presumed to be valid, and you would only be able to dispute the validity of that if the applicant shows that it is unreasonable, arbitrary, or not satisfactorily related to the police powers of the ordinance. So that will be something you determine in executive session.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Megan. Any other questions, comments? No, okay. All right, and then we will close the hearing. And before I do so, let me just let you know that the board has, hold on, I gotta get my right cheat sheet here. The board has 45 days to render a decision, and then you have 30 days to appeal if you're aggrieved in any way.
Did you see my request for a special hearing for the decision on the fence? Is it the bottom?
The bottom of which portion?
The first one.
Seeking special relief.
The bottom of the first page.
On the actual application, as opposed to the...
The letter that was submitted with the application.
This letter, huh?
Yeah. It says, if the board grants this request for special exception, I request the relief granted be valid for 2 years from the date of the board's decision. Additionally, I kindly request a special hearing to adopt the decision so that work can be commenced. I'm sorry, I figured because it was in the...
Yeah, so
it's in
I mean,
the application.
That doesn't. We can certainly consider that as part of our deliberation in executive session, but it doesn't change the reality that the board has 45 days to render a decision from the close of tonight's hearing. Yeah, but we will consider that as part of our deliberation. Okay. With that, the hearing is closed. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your testimony tonight. Okay. I don't believe we have any other business tonight.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. Okay, we'll adjourn to executive session.
Tom, can I just hand off?
The room is set up back there if you want to adjourn to the executive meeting room.
Thank you.